Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
We'll just start the podcast, and then we can talk about the ideas behind it.
Talk about butts.
Talk about butts, spanking your buns.
Nice. I'm talking about punching your buns, Joe.
Punching your buns. I finally finished watching Adventure Time.
Nice.
All the way through. So let's start this off. Welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host, Joe, and with me as always is the lemon garb to my bubblegum princess, Steve. That's him putting his cards together. He's going to go play some games. He's going to break this podcast.
Netrunner guys.
Neckbearder? Is that what you're playing?
Netrunner guys.
Oh. So it's like Neckbearder. It's just Netrunner.
It is similar to Neckbearder.
We should create a card game that's a parody of Netrunner called Neckbearder.
That would be awesome.
We could probably make some money. Put it on Kickstarter. Make some moolah.
Yeah. At least 4 ducats.
How many torches can I buy from this gold? No, I bought Adventure. I bought into the Adventure Time storyline and everything.
Yeah, it's a good story.
I
like the post-apocalypticness of it.
That's my only concern is that for every fantastic episode that had to deal with like the post-apocalypse, the Mushroom War, the mythology behind it, it's like there would be one or two episodes. There'd be like 2 or 3 episodes that were just like silly, which I understand. It's a kid's show. I'm an adult watching a kid's show, I should, you know, just calm the fuck
down.
Take
a chill pill.
Yeah. But it's like I wanted more. Like every time they would do an episode like Simon and Marcy, which I thought was amazing.
I remember you.
They would do one like the one where they had the horse. I can't remember the name of it.
the suspicious looking horse.
Course, yeah.
That episode's funny.
It's okay. I know. They'd have these great funny episodes.
I also really like the episode with the barn. Did you ever see that?
I probably did. I don't know what you're
talking. The barn is like a gigantic fighter, and they're trying to challenge the barn. And
And
they learn to fight dirty. And the barn drops a deuce on them, and it's just a bunch of farm animals.
Oh, sir, you are correct.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, and I think it's funny that right now I was putting it together. I was talking with Diana. I go, my top 5 TV shows on TV right now. Are 3 of them are cartoons.
And yeah.
It's Adventure Time, Archer, and Venture Brothers.
Do you watch regular show?
I do. A regular show is funny, but it's not. The reason why I like Adventure Time more than regular show is that Adventure Time has that story behind it. Regular show, there's no real story.
There is a meta plot to regular show. It's just, it's a little more slice of life regular.
Yeah.
Like a slice of life story because like Margaret, the chick, is going to college and like Mordecai is like trying to like, act on her before she goes to college.
I mean, that's people dealing with things. I can't deal with that bullshit.
Swords and sorcery.
Yeah, exactly. I want like fucking Venture Brothers where people.
Venture Brothers is insane.
The new season is very good.
Is it running now?
Oh yeah, yeah. They've already had like 3 episodes.
Nice. I'll have to make sure that I acquire that.
Yeah. The Venture they're all online free.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Legally?
I'll show. Well, I don't know.
How disappointing.
Legally, but there's a great site. Yeah, and then Archer, of course, which is the only reason
great.
I'm spending a lot of time talking about this is that these are the cartoons, the storylines that create great scenarios for adventure. You could, or for RPGing, for anything. Like, if you're into what we're into, tabletop gaming, these are shows that create imagination, man. Man.
Create imagination, man.
Are you listening to what I am saying? No, I mean, you got Adventure Time, which is the classic sword and sorcery, Dungeon Run, and then you have Archer, which is classic Cold War spy, and then you have Venture Brothers, which is, you know, super science and magic.
Oh, is that an actual crossover?
No, it's not the one I posted.
Man. I mean, stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
So I was like, that would have been the best.
I know you love your Blackula hunting.
I do love Blackula hunting.
But if
I only hunt Blackulas. That's racist, man.
But if anything, our relationship is more Pete White and Billy Quizboy than anything else.
Yeah, for sure. I'm Pete White.
Yeah, right. Call me Mother's Little Water Baby. All All right, so let's get into the big news for this fucking week. Not that there was not a ton of gaming news. I mean, there was some, but the big news, of course, was that GW and Chapter House Games finally had their verdict read. Now,
the verdict is in, fellows.
The verdict is in.
And the verdict is Workshop lost big time.
Workshop won the battle but lost the war.
Oh, yeah.
They lost. Well, it depends. Well, so we'll get into this real quick. So, for those who don't know the backstory, Chapter House Games is a boutique company that goes on the internet and sells fucking upgrades for Space Marines. Essentially is what it is.
It's flat out. Like, they say, like, Dark Angel shoulder pads and stuff.
Yeah. Powerfish shoulder pads, chainsaws, power axes, heads, legs, whatever have you. A couple other army things. They do some stuff for the Tyranids. The big thing was that they put out a model, a conversion thing for the Tervagon before there was a Tervagon model. And GW got very butthurt about it, which... Steve, I think you can agree it's understandable when someone else puts a model out for your game.
Well, if Workshop put out their models in a timely fashion.
But you will agree that it's a little on the illegal-ish side to do that. On the suable side.
I mean, was it called Tervagon?
Probably not.
Because if it's not called Tervagon, not really. Because Tyranids aren't really a very easy thing to defend IP-wise because they're alien bug monsters.
Yeah.
Starship Troopers would like a word with you, Games Workshop.
Yeah. Don't get into that bullshit because Starship Troopers had nothing similar to that.
They're alien bug monsters. Yeah. It doesn't matter that they're more insectoid in appearance.
Oh, my God. You know, that is the standard neckbeard basement dwelling argument.
All right, fine. This. Aliens would like a word with you.
But, I mean...
H.R. Geiger wants to know why your hive tire looks like an alien queen.
If you put out a game... And then people were putting out stuff for your game and undercutting your prices, you would totally sue.
I would probably try and double my efforts to make a better product.
Okay.
Sure.
I will not backtrack! So there was...
No, I mean, that's offering alternative miniatures is a hallmark and staple of the miniatures industry.
I will agree with you on that. It has been and always will be a hallmark of the gaming industry.
Like, but, it doesn't matter that they don't like it because they produced the model out. They got the model out first. I suppose they should have just been better at getting their miniature out. Because that's the thing. Here's the thing why I think that it's totally, totally legit is they released the rules and had plenty of time to make their own miniature.
Yeah. No, I understand that.
And they didn't throw up a single. They didn't throw up a single peep when Bane Legions made like the Beastman army.
Yeah.
That Beastman Army had the three or four big monsters in the fantasy release that didn't come out for years.
Yeah, the Saigor and the...
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what
you're talking about. The Four-Armed Minotaur, the Jabba Sloyth, whatever.
Yeah.
All those guys. They didn't come out for years with those miniatures. Like, 4 years, possibly? It was it's a huge time span.
But
Bane Legions, they had those miniatures out in like a couple months.
Yeah. Let's put it in one thing. We know that Games Workshop doesn't care about fantasy.
That's true.
And this is more about 40K, which is their moneymaker, their IP.
We do know they care not about fantasy.
They do care not about fantasy. So, anyway, so Chapter House Games did all this stuff, and GW sued them. And they went... And now, normally, in this situation, the smaller companies like Chapter House would fold and be like, oh, we can't handle it, you know, because GW, of course, has a giant legal team.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but Chapter House took them to court. And they went with them to court, and they went the entire way through the process, never settling, never ending, and bringing it. Now, this is where Games Workshop lost. They won the majority of the suit. They ended up, I think Chapter House had to pay like $25,000 in damages. Yeah, $25,000. But in copyright claims, GW, there was 160 claims against Chapter House. GW won 1/3, and Chapter House won 2/3. Which is huge. General trademark claims, Chapter House won all 9, including either no infringement or fair use of GW trademarks.
Yep.
Disputed trademark claims, Chapter House won 11, GW won 10. Trademarks ruled previously used in commerce claims, Chapter House won 35, GW won 27. And then... Notable trends in individual products under dispute. Chapter House lost on individual products, including the Doomseer and anything Dark Elf, which is weird that they would have Dark Elf.
It was probably Dark Eldar.
Could be. And then GW Chapter House won on individual products, including jet bikes, super heavy walker model, and lizard ogres. Lizard ogres. But Chapter House did have to pay GW $25,000. So GW technically won the suit, but they lost so much in IP that it is going to hurt them.
Oh, yeah. Because now, bad. Because now you have, as a alternate miniatures manufacturer, you have a laundry list of things you can make and name what they're supposed to be.
Now, the problem with the internet, and there's lots of problems with the internet, Steve, including everyone having an opinion, including us, is that no one has put out a list of what copyrights were won, what were lost, the trademarks that were won, trademarks that were lost. Everyone, like, and if they have, they're so lost in the miasma of bullshit on the internet that I can't find them.
I'm sure it'll come out.
Yeah. So what I know some things that Chapter House did win. Chapter House did win on shoulder pads, which is not unusual. I mean, that was a big part of the of GW's case, actually, was the chapter. Because remember when it was coming out, it was like all about, you know, shoulder pads.
Fighting. Yeah, the chapter logo shoulder pads and stuff. The ones that, and they when they were first coming out, they were the ones that Games Workshop wasn't making, had no plans to make, and didn't make for years, or, you know, discontinued.
And there was also Power Fists, I think. I don't know what they, or Power Weapons.
You could say that Workshop got fisted.
Yeah, they got Imperial fisted.
No,
Cody Diaz! No, wait, he was Crimson Fist. He got Crimson fisted.
And then I think you'd much rather have your fisting be Imperial than Crimson.
The Crimson Fist. That sounds like a good superhero name for you.
Yeah.
I think you could probably win it in a suit against GW at this point. They lost a lot of that stuff, and that's going to, and that gives all these manufacturers, these boutique manufacturers, a guideline of what you could put on the internet now. Yep. And that's, it's going to change the market. Now, in a perfect world, Steve, in a perfect world, the
bound by fate.
Yeah. What this suit would do is this would tell Games Workshop, hey, look, we got to give the people what they want in order for them to buy our product and not other people's product, right?
Right.
However, what it's probably going to end up doing is Games Workshop is probably going to end up changing things so that, and then trying to more viciously copyright them. Like, oh, you want to put new shoulder pads on your Space Marines? Well, guess what all the Space Marines have now? Attached shoulder pads.
It's just like when they tried to, like, throw down hard with the term Space Marine.
Yeah. Well, that's still up in the air. We don't know where that's gone yet.
It's just dog shit. Space Marine is a hallmark of science fiction.
It's, you know, you gotta viciously defend your copyright in this day and age.
Fuck their copyright. It existed before their company existed.
It doesn't matter. You have to defend your product. Because if you lose fucking your product, garbage. You lose your money.
Whatever, dude.
This is a business, dude. It's the same reason.
I want to see Games Workshop crumble.
I know
I
you
want
do.
To see them lose their shit. I want to see them go bankrupt, have to liquidate all their assets. That's what I want.
I don't want that. I want to see
them. That is the number one thing I want. I think about it every day.
You have a very sad life, Steve.
No, I don't really think about it that much. I think about it when we're on the podcast.
Yeah, when you're on the podcast, yeah. No, I think I would like Games Workshop to go back to the way they were in, maybe not so much the 90s, like, because their business practices were pretty cutthroat in the 90s as well, but they were nowhere near as bad as this. Like, their business was cutthroat in order to serve a better game. But, you know, nowadays it's just bullshit.
No, I mean, nowadays they want to charge you $75 for the four white council models.
Oh, fucking A. No, the worst is the fucking, the Dire Avenger box set. Oh, you get five models for $35. Yeah. Wait.
Five.
I could get 10 for 40 before.
Yep. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't care. Like, I hope that they just burn.
I hope that a lot of other companies start taking advantage. And I think that Games Workshop's eventual decline in stores that they're going to be closing, you know, if they close all the bunkers like they did in England, and they move all the other stores to basically mall kiosks.
Yeah.
I think that game stores were still coming in. I mean, we already talked about the podcast about how there's like 8 game stores in this area again.
Yep. Yeah, Drakstar just opened up.
I've been going there.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's very nice. I can't wait to see when they're actually done with the store itself.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They have a very nice big space, a lot of parking, right next to
we'll
a liquor store.
Kings of War there.
Yeah, I would totally want to play. I got two, three units. painted up now and done.
For your Game of Thrones?
Yeah, my Lannisters.
I mean, don't forget, you can also use your Empire army.
Yeah, but I don't want to do that.
I'm just letting you know you can.
But my Empire army is designed for fantasy.
This doesn't matter.
This is two separate fucking games, Steve. Do you think... Do you think this is a game?
Yes.
Wait, yes, yes, it is
a
game.
I think this is a motherfucking game.
All right, so anyway, any other thoughts on the chapter houses?
I'm a big fan of this result. I think it's awesome.
Well, Steve, what we need to do...
Well, you see, you gotta... I just went into Cosby. I was trying to do Madden.
I know, that's what I...
but it's, every time I try and do Madden, I just slip into Cosby. If you wanna win the lawsuit... You've got to sue better.
What we got to do?
You got to score a touchdown.
You
got to run the ball.
I know people listening to this and going, "Who is John Madden? What are these sports that they speak of?" No, you got to do like the dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun The seeds of victory that were planted in September grew strong or died and wilted in December.
Yeah. You know? So it's a huge result. It's great for the indie community. Yeah. It's great for the indie developer. It's great for gamers in general because they'll be able to access their miniatures at a reasonable cost rather than Games Workshop's gouging.
Here's a part with that I will disagree with, because even though, yes, you'll get... You still, like, if you're playing a Space Marine army, you have to buy Space Marines from Games Workshop.
No, you don't. Just there's high-tech miniatures. There's so many different alternatives out there.
Yeah.
Where, like, high-tech makes miniatures, like, I mean, they're just one. I know there's more, but high-tech makes miniatures look exactly like
Space
Marines. Those
are more expensive than the Games Workshop ones.
Are they? I don't know.
Yeah. It's like those, but they're, like, they're very, very, very nice. But it's like Cyborg. You know, they do minis like that as well, but they're... infinitely more expensive. Yeah.
Well, you got the Enforcers with Mantic. Those guys are sweet.
Yeah.
Those miniatures are cool.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, dude. You like the Empire models. Your taste is questionable
Empire.
As hell.
Empire. Oh, by the way, speaking of your Mantic double standard, that goblin thing that they put up.
That thing is awesome.
That is the dumbest. That is almost as dumb as the corn cannon. Almost.
That is a goblin contraption.
You have to. Listen, I will accept your Games Workshop model bashing, but you can't have a double standard like that.
That's impossible. That model is awesome. I love the mincer.
No.
If Workshop released that model, I wouldn't have a problem with it because it's a goblin model. You can do the goofy over-the-top things with the goofy over-the-top armies. That's the problem. And that's the thing that super bugs me is Workshop has two... goofy over-the-top armies in the orcs for 40k and the orcs and goblins for Warhammer, and they never do enough goofy over-the-top things with them, and then they come out with things like the fucking skull cannon or skull tank. Skull tank.
Skull tank.
Dude, that was that skull tank picture.
Let's talk about our fans for a second. Shall we? Yes, quiet.
Yeah, quiet. I love the mincer. How do you not like the mincer? Well, you don't like goblins, though.
No, I don't like goblins. I think goblins are stupid.
See?
They should remain in Tolkien and never come out. I want to talk about one of our fans put up about our last podcast with the skull tank with the skull cannons and the skull treads that have skulls.
Yeah, for... skull tread. Yeah. It's a giant skull with treads made out of skulls. And there's skulls everywhere on it.
I wanted to talk about...
I was going
to
try and say his name. But
he's
not.
Got a nice Polish name.
Yeah,
he's a good Polish boy.
I am not. Maybe you might have luck because you're Polish.
I'd have to look at it. I don't remember what it is off the top of my head.
I would not attempt it because I would feel very, very, very upset.
Yeah.
I'd butcher his name. But thank you. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. I've never gotten fan art before.
Yeah, I grew up in a part of Chicago where it's like, yeah, you know Janacek? Yeah, I know Janacek. How's he spell his name? Y-A-Q-Z-V-V-Z-Y.
Yeah, I'm Greek. I'm Greek, so if it was a Greek name like Andrianopoulos, I'd be like, it's Andrianopoulos.
Yeah. Greek isn't hard. They're all just opolises.
Shut up, bro. You don't know nothing about my Greek.
That's why I always said that the chick from My Big Fat Greek Wedding should play it should play Wonder Woman, just to make it more authentic. Natalie Vardalos. I think so.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, maybe get and have her eating a little spanakopita in the movie.
And some fucking souvlaki.
That's a Chicago thing. But I do love me some souvlaki. In case you don't know what that is, and you don't live in the Chicagoland area, it's basically cheese set on fire. So
No, that's Saganaki.
Saganaki. Oh, that's what I'm thinking.
Souvlaki is something different.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm wrong.
I am the Greek.
You are the Greek. I'm not going to argue. If we're talking about guumki, you go to me.
Or gnocchi.
So anyway, we have... I put on Tabletop Gaming News. We talked a lot about... We talked a lot about Game of Thrones in the last podcast, and I put up
this
big...
Oh, that was the best!
I put up this thing, and I called the episode Spoiler Alert, and I put up a scene from the first episode of Game of Thrones where Ned Stark gets his head cut off. Now, this is the exact problem I'm talking about last podcast with the internet. It's like, when does spoilers... Like when
is the moratorium on spoilers over?
Yeah.
Then you didn't even show who it was.
I covered up his head, and a dude... Still, his name's Scarlet Squig, and I'm going to call him out because he's a fucking D-bag, says, Tabletop Gaming News, now with annoying spoilers for shows that people might have wanted to watch, bloody marvelous. Okay, fuckface. It's been out for 3 fucking years. If you might have wanted to watch it at that point, go fucking to a store, buy the DVDs. Because at this point, you're making it hard for the rest of us. You know, that's what... Here it is. The Game Classy, and I don't care what Steve has to say about this, Game Classy...
You're on a roll. I'm going to let you go with it.
Rules of spoilers for TV shows, movies, and books, okay? With movies, you have a 2-week period on spoilers. If you do not see a movie within 2 weeks of its initial release, you have to deal with all consequences thereof. Now, that's difficult, even for me, because I have...
And what we're talking about is, like, you are allowed to be butthurt if you've been spoiled... Yes. In these windows.
Yes. Within 2 weeks, you are allowed to be butthurt. After that 2 weeks, it's open game. It's your damn fault if you see it, and if you see anything about it. And this is coming from a parent who has a hard time going to fucking movies and seeing shit. And I know if I don't see it within 2 weeks, it's game. I'm game. TV shows. You have 3 days with a TV show. You have 3 days from the date of airing. Because guess what you have? You have streaming, like Hulu, a lot of networks have their own streaming things on their own websites. Right. And even if it's not like that, like let's say something that you don't have an opportunity to do, that's your own damn fault.
On demand with your cable, yeah. You got HBO Go.
Now, like for example,
illegally torrenting the film,
yes.
Or movie or TV show.
No, you'd be saying, "But Joe, Game of Thrones is only available through HBO and the DVDs and
torrents, baby,
or illegal methods. I don't want to do any of those." Well, guess what? If you don't want to pay for HBO, you have to deal with the fact that you're not paying for HBO.
Right. If you don't want to use the illegal methods, then
you have to deal with that. With it. Yeah. Now with books, I give a book spoiler. Like, I'll with book spoilers, I usually will give it, you know, a very, very long time. I would almost say at your own judgment. Because book spoilers are a little... Because it takes people long-ass times to read. I could read super quick, and a lot of people take forever to fucking read.
You know, I've heard that, like, so many, like, X number... Everyone always says, like, it takes people a long time to read, whatever. I've never met someone who takes a long time to read.
I have. I've met people that took, like... took them, like...
Aren't you a special education teacher?
Well, yeah, I'm special education. I've seen people who aren't in special education take 6 months to read Harry Potter.
Oh, okay.
The new Harry Potter book, which I read in one day.
Just wanted to make sure that we're on the same page here.
No, but, you know, some people can only read, like, they'll read a chapter at a time and then put the book down and then come back to it later, you know? Me, when I read, I have to read all the way through.
Maybe they should be reading more thrilling subject matter, like dick butts.
Like the new Robert Ludlum book?
Good God, it's Machine Code.
It's a Machine Code. Steve,
it's a message from the Batman. Dick butt.
So, Steve, you're planning to go to an Android Netrunner tournament today?
Yes, the regional.
Where's that at?
That is at the Gaming Goat in Schaumburg.
Schaumburg?
Illinois.
And so what kind of deck are you going to be running?
I will be running the NBN.
What does that mean?
Basically, they're Fox News.
Oh.
They're all intents and purposes... They're Fox News.
What was kind of cool about that is, like, when he said NBN, he pulled out an NBN card and, like, put it on the table. Like, he was either a magician Or he'd been planning that the entire fucking time.
I am
like, we've been sitting here for 25 minutes, and the entire 25 minutes, he's got that card. Just wait for him to mention NBN. Just wait for him to mention it.
I am a magician.
It's an illusion.
Perhaps you like my illusions.
It's an illusion, Michael.
Did you watch the...
I did watch all
so
of them.
So good. So good.
Yeah, I kind of would have liked to have seen him a little... I watched them all in, like, 1 week. I kind of would have liked to have spread it out a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because I think it would have been a lot more enjoyable.
I'm going to watch them again, because there's so many references to the episodes and whatnot. But yeah, so we'll be playing an NBN deck for the corpse side. And then for the runner side, I'm going to be playing Andromeda, the Dispossessed Risty.
Oh, so not Hercules?
Not Kevin Sorbo.
No Kevin Sorbo in your deck?
No. If there was a Kevin Sorbo...
And really bad Gene Roddenberry ripoffs.
If there was a Kevin Sorbo runner, I would definitely play him. Even if he was bad. Because it's Sorbo. Like, you can't...
Disappointed!
It's fucking Sorbo. Disappointed!
Oh, Kevin Sorbo references.
I fucking love Kevin Sorbo.
I hate Hercules.
Dude.
It's so bad.
Why? It's so fun.
It's
cheesy. It's old, but it's Sam Raimi. There's awesome camera.
Sam Raimi maybe did like three things with that show.
Whatever, dude. There's awesome camera shots, camera angles. It's funny. You know, the show is just... That show is just vicarious, childlike entertainment.
When I was 12 years old and watching that...
That's when I watched it.
That's when it was great.
It was awesome.
I'm 32 now.
And now I watch it out of nostalgia.
See, I stopped doing things out of nostalgia a long time ago because I realized nostalgia is bullshit.
Whatever, bro.
It's like people who still like Hocus Pocus.
Whatever,
and
bro. That's
the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
That's because you had a kid, and having a kid sours your soul.
No, are you kidding me? I can't wait for Penny to get older so I can actually watch some cool stuff. Like, we watch a lot of the Cartoon Network block. I watch, Adventure Time, Regular Show, and Teen Titans Go.
It doesn't matter. Your soul is still soured.
It's soured. That's why I can't wait for her to get older so I could do more kiddie, like, you know, young adult. Not young adult.
Taking
but, like,
a Gen Con for the True Dungeon?
Yeah. Well, I took her to...
She is never going to Gen Con. She's going to find out that you were a nerd, and being a nerd is wrong.
No, I did... I took her to Comic-Con last year, Chicago Comic-Con, the one that's too fucking annoying for anything else.
And Chicago Comic-Con blows.
It's...
C2E2 is a blast.
Yeah. I carried her... You know, I had her in a stroller, and I was just like... And it was Thursday, the first day, and it was just... It was too crowded then. I was like, this is obnoxious on every level. So, anyway.
Indeed.
All right, so back to your Android deck.
Yeah, and then I'm playing Andromeda, who's from the Criminal Faction.
Okay.
I think my decks are pretty good.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens when we go there. I'm hoping that it's not a joke tournament and, like, people actually show.
Oh.
Because
normally, like, if you said, like, I'm doing this for Berserk, I'd probably be like, no one is going to fucking show for this. But Netrunner's still huge, so there might be a lot of people going.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, that's the thing. Like I was talking before, this is the grand mystery of Netrunner. I mean, I sell it at my work. I see how popular the game is. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's gigantic. Like, it's one of the biggest games out there right now. It really is. But where are the people playing it? You got me.
Yeah. Well, that's
you got me, because I don't know, like, there's the one time I went to go to a store's supposed weekly Netrunner night, there were two guys there. One of the guys was a fucking employee at the store. So I was just like,
Well, that was probably the employee was probably the one who was like, this game's amazing. People should be playing it. Let's do a Netrunner night.
It was not that great. So I didn't go. So we'll see, because I don't want it to be a joke tournament.
Well, that's like, what I'm hoping.
I'll go. I'll play. Maybe get a free win, but then it's not a win at that point. There's nothing exciting about beating three people. Yeah. It's like, oh man, I totally defeated three people. I'm great.
Well, that's what I'm hoping with all these game stores that are opening up around us is that they will actually take on certain things. Like, oh, this store is going to be this game. This store is going to be this game, or it will have this style of community.
Yeah, well, I mean, it looks like the stores that are doing like War Machine. You've got Fair Game in Downers Grove. You've got the Goat in Oak Park, and then you've got Drakstar in Batavia.
Yeah,
like those are the War Machine guys.
Yeah,
Drakstar also has 40K in Fantasy.
Yeah, well,
but I'm gonna try and just like make all of their shame all of their Fantasy players in the Playing Kings of War.
There you go. Well, it's really funny because we've talked about Drakstar and about how they're Games Workshop refused to sell them Games Workshop models. And I go there, and there are still people playing 40K with zero support in the store. Yep. I'm like, there you go. That's the popularity of the game. And then you
no accounting for taste.
And then you have
world.
The three guys playing War Machine in the background. Two guys get each other. One guy standing there looking on with his models waiting to play the guy who wins, going, Games Workshop sucks. Doesn't Games Workshop suck? Yeah, Games Workshop sucks.
It's true.
I know. That's all it is. It's the War Machine players. All they talk about is how Games Workshop sucks.
It is fucking awful.
Oh, let's talk about the new Menoth guys. Oh, yeah, they're so much better than Games Workshop, aren't they? Yeah, totally. Yeah, That's the rub.
Generally, when I talk about War Machine, I just try and talk about War Machine.
Yeah.
I don't try to talk about Games Workshop, because talking about Games Workshop is fucking miserable.
Well, that's the problem, is like, when I like to talk about games, and I like to talk about gaming on this podcast, I really hate talking about the like the negative stuff about, like, people like when we talk negative about games. That's true. But I think a vocal minority. I think most people just like us.
See, that's bullshit. The whole, like, vocal, and Anthony on Playon uses that all the time. Vocal minority is fucking bullshit. That's just a way to casually dismiss someone's complaints, opinions, or stance. Because you just be like, oh, he's just a vocal minority.
Well,
you can't say if he's a majority or minority. Well, you have no idea.
Well, the vocal minority basically means they're like the people who complain the most. We have them on our own forum on the Facebook.
But they're not
page.
A minority, because they seem to be 100%.
No. When I say minority, there's like five or six guys that all they want to do is bitch about Games Workshop.
But that's fine.
We have you know.
That's totally cool.
If we have 200 people who like our page, that's, you know, 2.5% right there.
As long as they're not out there defending Games Workshop, saying Games Workshop has good miniatures, good rules, as long as they're not doing that, they've got my thumbs up.
But, I mean, what I would prefer, and this is just me preferring, I would just prefer them to, okay, you don't like it, don't talk about it. You don't have to buy it. No one is forcing you to buy Games Workshop products. No one is forcing you to go and look at their stuff and talk. The reason why I think people get upset about it is because there's still a lot of people that really love Games Workshop. And we've talked about that before.
Like I said, there's no accounting for taste.
No accounting for taste in the world. Now, and what they do is they get upset because they're like, they really love something that I hate.
Yeah, I used to be.
It's like how I feel about the Big Bang Theory.
It's
fans.
Miserable. But there's the phases. I don't think we've ever discussed them before, but it's called Games Workshop Abandonment Syndrome.
Yeah.
There's different phases you go through.
And we and you have talked about this before, but there's, I know I just thought of a phase that you had missed, but you could go ahead and talk about it.
All right. Well, Games Workshop Abandonment Syndrome is like, that's the Games Workshop fan or employee going from supportive of Games Workshop to not supportive of Games Workshop. And
there's two phases that you missed in this, but go ahead.
Well, there's a long road to the not supportive of Games Workshop.
Yeah.
You know, there's stage one is just anger. You're just like, I fucking hate Games Workshop.
But you're still in that.
I still have a good helping event of anger stage. Most people do.
Yeah.
You never really lose the anger.
No, I mean, I still get angry sometimes, but I'm also not a non-supporter.
Yeah, so I mean, well, anger doesn't necessarily mean you're. That's what I said. That's
part of it.
Going towards
that's
the
stage one. Yeah.
See, so you're technically still in stage one.
No, I'm kind of in denial, but that's what.
Okay, denial. You're in stage two. But you carry on. You go into more. You said I've got some missing phases.
Well, the anger is the one that always bothers me, because it's the one where it's irrational anger, and the people try and rationalize the anger, but it's still at the same time there's the acceptance level, which is that, you know what, Games Workshop exists and whatever have you. And that's the you know, the denial is that, you know, one day the Games Workshop will disappear like the rest of them, like dust in the wind.
It'll be Cronopia.
It'll be Cronopia takes over.
You know what? For as much fun as we make of Cronopia,
we talk about a lot.
There's some fucking sweet models from Cronopia.
Really?
Yeah. There's some sweet ones.
Oh, wow. We'll have to talk about that sometime, what you think are the sweet models from Cronopia.
I think they're from Cronopia. I think they were orcs.
They're black bloods, the ones that look like Middle Eastern?
Maybe. I don't know. The models I saw looked really cool.
Right.
I'll have to find them again to tell you which ones they were.
After denial, there also comes acceptance. that Games Workshop is an entity of it in and of itself, and people have love. That's the one that you tend to forget, is that there's that acceptance level of like, whatever, man, we're just going to play something different. But there are a couple other stages in there. They're not necessarily stages, but they're just modes that you can enter into. The other one is the secondary cult, where it's like you leave the cult of Games Workshop and you form another cult. And
you go to the cult of Privateer Press?
Yeah, no, they're just like, the person's like, yeah, Games Workshop sucks. Have you heard the word of War Machine?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. You go to the cult of Privateer Press, because if you don't, there's plenty of other games out there that like aren't the cultish.
Yeah.
Things. Well, but Privateer Press doesn't really market their game that way, but the fans community is like that.
Yeah, they're very cultish. Like, you don't have to play Games Workshop. Why don't you try out War Machine?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of like smaller games, and this is what I've talked about this with War Machine before, is like, I really wish War Machine was the game I wanted it to be,
yeah,
which was a small skirmish game.
Yeah.
But it's not that game.
No.
At all.
No, it's...
It's 40K sized.
It's another 40K.
That's the size. It's the size of 40K.
When I talk about Games Workshop, it's, yes, there needs to be a reasonable substitution for 40K in fantasy. If you could find a reasonable substitution for fantasy that's as in-depth as fantasy and could have as much variety, then you could have it.
I just don't think fantasy is actually that in-depth.
No.
I think fantasy has a lot of sound and fury signifying nothing.
Yeah. It's all about IP. It's all about the background. It's all about having...
But their background's generic fantasy.
Yeah, but their armies have a history behind them. They have a whole world. It's a very good world-building system.
Sure, but it's still generic fantasy, which is why they all never care about the...
Kings of War does not have that at all. It does. About 5 pages worth of background, and it's all gobbledygook with, like, names, you know.
there's a lot of background in that book, actually.
No, I read through the book. But, there's not. And it doesn't have the variation that people like.
I mean, regardless of what I was saying, yeah. I also don't care about background. Like, there's supposedly a background in War Machine and Hordes. And I was like, there's a background in this game? There's fluff? What?
But that's different.
What's happening? And I fell in a little fetal position, and I'm like, "Well, is their background?"
You have to understand that gamers care about that stuff.
Again, no accounting for fucking taste.
Gamers do care about fluff, and they care about theme, and they care about painting.
I'm not giving you the advantage of seeing my list. We're gonna battle, and I changed it since the last time we played.
No interfering with the podcast, or you'll be banned.
He's not interfering with the podcast. He's trying to interfere with my deck.
There's, and you can't... People do like that stuff. It's the reason why people build characters for D&D that have an intense background inside the world of Mezzobarazin and whatever else have you.
But D&D, that makes sense, because that's where that shit fucking belongs in a role-playing game.
But people also like doing it in fantasy, or any sci-fi game. Any
That's fucking stupid. Game. It's fucking dumb.
I disagree. I think it makes the game more fun, because otherwise I'm just playing a fucking game. There's no investment. There's no emotional investment.
If you want a background to your game, play in a campaign. It will actually make its own background. If you play in a campaign of fantasy,
well, you could
Kings of War, 40K, doesn't matter. If you play in a campaign of a miniatures game, minus War Machine, because that sounds like the worst thing ever.
When you play the way that you're talking, it becomes Fun Vampire. Because then you stop caring about fluff, you stop caring about background, and you start all you care about is winning, and that's what kills the game. That's the same thing you rail against with 40K.
Why do you care about just winning in a campaign? I'm talking about playing in a campaign.
No, I'm talking like...
That's
what
like
your
the
play,
most casual
your,
thing you can do.
Your playstyle in general becomes the Fun Vampire. That's the thing.
Says you.
Says
me. Game's always fun for me.
God, it's always fun if you're winning, Steve.
That's
Remember
right.
we had to get that down, because people were like, it's not always fun if you're winning. It's not always fun if you're winning, Steve. Steve, stop saying that.
Oh, it's... I mean, if you're playing in a campaign, that gives you all the background and story you want. It, you know, that's... You don't need to write... Like, I played against someone once. They had like an entire fiction written for their army. Yeah. I was like looking at his, because he gave me his army list, because we're supposed to exchange army lists before the game. And there's like all of his characters have names, and there's like a little blurb of background for each of his characters. And I was just like, I looked at him and I was like, you know, none of this is going to matter when I table you. And then I did table him. It was awesome. I was like, this is the best day ever.
Yeah, but you know what? He's probably still playing the game, and you're like, well, fuck that game, because you have no emotional investment.
Dude, he was salty as shit. It was awesome.
I'm sure people get salty as shit, regardless.
The best part was, I told him I was going to table. I was like, you know,
like, you're like Babe Ruth.
I actually leaned,
out his home run.
In, and I was like, none of this is going to matter. I may table you. You know? And then I tabled him. It was awesome.
Anyway, I wanted to give an update on
fucking fluffy bunnies. Fucking hate fluffy bunnies. You
I
know
like
why?
Them
because they ruin the game for other people.
No, they ruin the game for fun vampires.
No, they ruin the game for other people because here's the problem. Here's the actual problem with fluffy bunnies.
Oh God.
Ready? Yeah, you can roll your eyes. They have in their mindset, this is the way the game should be played.
Okay.
And that is the way they attempt to enforce that style of play. So if you have an army that's competitive,
yeah,
they're like, you know, like, well, this is clearly not built considering the background of the game. I'm going to mark you down in sportsmanship and in army composition because you took 3 chariots instead of the clearly obvious 1 choice that they would bring. So fuck those guys.
How do you
fuck them in their stupid asses?
How did you even, there was an entire how did you even hear them over the sound of your own sucking of the fun out of the game?
There was an entire tournament. Perfect example of this. There was a tournament that was being run for a while called the Core Competency Tournament. Quote unquote. And this is made to be a fluffy bunny tournament. And here's why this is. There's many reasons this is bullshit. One, the army, when I played, the year I played, it was a team tournament. A team tournament core comp. Or no, it wasn't team tournament. I made a teammate. And we came up with a storyline for our background, for our armies. It was an orc and goblin horde and an ogre horde. And like over the forums, we were putting like town criers that are like talking about this ogre, this orc horde that's rampaging. And then the next town crier is how they hired the assistance of the ogres to stop the orcs. And there was another town crier where the ogre, every one of these is a town crier. The ogres betrayed the humans, sacked the city, took all of the gold, and then went off to go kill the orcs anyway because they wanted to fight. And then the whole thing was a big showdown between the orcs and the ogres at the core competency tournament. Huge background. I did flyers. I put them all over the bunker. I put them all up on the forums. No one put anywhere near the amount of work me and the other guy did into our backgrounds.
Okay.
It wasn't even close. And the army that won the coveted fluffy bunny, which was your army had the best storyline or the best background, was a Lizardmen army.
Yeah.
And his background was he was motherfucking Lizardmen. And I was like, awesome. Because that tournament was run by the guy who's like, well, you've got 3 chariots. Those armies, elvish generals only bring 1 chariot. Possibly 2. But you'd need to have a really good reason why they'd have 2. So fuck the people who are into the background of the game and try and enforce their love of the dick-sucking background.
I think right here we just
onto
saw
the table.
The birth of a supervillain right there.
Fucking
that was
awful.
That was the moment where Dr. Doom puts on the super hot mask. It burns his face.
Richards!
Exactly. It's the moment that great the supervillain birth, the birth of supervillain. Yeah. When the Joker gets pushed into the vat of acid at the Ace Chemical plant. That was what happened right there.
Yeah, so
no one will enjoy fluff now that the fluff was taken from me.
It's not about enjoying the fluff. You can enjoy the fluff all you want. The problem is they feel that if your army's competitive, for whatever reason it's competitive, it's against the background of the game. Because competitive armies aren't in the background.
I'm saying I don't believe in super uber competitive armies.
That's because you're a toolbox.
Thank you for that, Steve. Anyway, let's move away from this because I want to talk about a couple of different games that specifically I wanted to talk about Saga because
Berserk?
I mentioned Saga last week and I wanted to give a little bit more into it. Saga is a great it's not necessarily, it's a historical skirmish game, but you could max it out for fantasy or whatever else have you. I would definitely, it's one of the more interesting, fun games that
so
I've come across.
It's skirmish?
It's skirmish level. I mean, skirmish is a misnomer because you do have units of up to, you know, 12 guys running around, but 12 is like the max you have for a unit. Basically, it's all around a point system. Each unit is 1 point. Like, and it goes from like good, really good guys, and then like shitty guys. So the really good guys, there's only 4 guys in each unit. The medium guys, there's 8, and then the shitty guys, there's 12. And you know, and each unit generates a saga die, and you can have up to 6 saga dice.
Saga dice.
Saga dice. It's
actually, we were just talking about that. That's the Greek cheese.
That's the Greek cheese. Yeah. you roll your 6 dice, and whatever the symbols allow you to do certain things. So there's a huge element of luck in it. Depending on the rules, but not really, because if you actually look at what you could do with the dice, it's kind of spread out fairly evenly. There's only like 3 different symbols on the dice, so
okay,
yeah. And so you roll it out. You could do all sorts of stuff, and like the dice allow you to activate the units, allow you to reroll, add more dice, all sorts of fun stuff like that. I really suggest that if you were looking for a small skirmish game that is non-campaignish, like it's a Mordheim without having to deal with all the Mordheim advancing bullshit, which is...
And Mordheim's canceled.
And Mordheim's canceled as well. So you don't have to worry about that. And it's like, they try to make it unique, like, oh, these are the Anglo-Saxons. These are the Danes. These are the Scots.
These are the Danes. They got small heads.
Dane. These are the, these are the Russians. These are the Vikings. They're all the fucking same. They all do the same fucking thing.
They're all white dudes with beards.
They're all white dudes with beards and axes. I mean, there's certain ones. It's like each army has like one specific rule that makes them different. And some of them have horses. That's it. That's all the difference in the world. But I do suggest checking it out. The rulebook's a little on the expensive side, but it's balanced out by the fact that all you need to do is buy a $20 box of Vikings, and that's it. Because you could buy the War Games Factory
that's
Vikings.
That's pretty legit.
Yeah.
Or I'm sure Gripping Beast has some nice
Gripping,
stuff.
Gripping Beast has a 44 unit box set that you could buy. It's $35.
That's pretty fucking sweet deal.
But War Games Factory has I think it's 32 for $20. And you could buy it on eBay, but the War Store for 15. So you get essentially a model for 50 cents. And if you know and if you just want to put the guys out there, that's fine. But if you want to use green stuff to make them all different, more power to you.
Right.
Not that you would ever do that, but.
Nope.
Nope.
Not a chance.
But me and another guy are playing it right now, and we're enjoying the hell out of it. So I do recommend it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I also, I've been reading up a lot on the Hail Caesar rules.
Don't you mean Hail Caesar?
No, I mean Hail Caesar, because that's what he's, Julius Caesar, you know, the guy from the play?
His name is Caesar.
I never heard anyone named Julius Caesar.
The term is Caesar.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Kaiser Soze?
No. Caesar.
Okay. Sure, Steve. You believe in your weird fantasy world of weird pronunciations.
Trust me.
So anyway, Hail Caesar is these actual pretty decent rules. It's a pretty decent rule set. It's it's a good heir to Warhammer Ancient Battles if you were into that. And it's actually if you want to mod it out and use it for fantasy-esque gaming, it'll actually work pretty well. But then once again, that's the problem is you have to create the background, you have to create the stuff, you have to do all that. I'm looking for a game that will take fantasy's place for me, that is a mass combat fantasy game that has a good background and allows me to make an investment into their world. Not just like, oh, I have to make my own background for my guys.
Or this game clearly has better rules, but there's no background, so I don't want to play it.
Well, it's not necessarily better rules. I just want something that's going to take fantasy's place that can get me to make an investment in it.
So why not War Machine and Hordes?
I have War Machine and Hordes, but that's different. It's not that's sci-fi for me. I'm looking for ones where I have ranks of troops, like big blocks of troops moving across the table.
So in other words, no other game that currently exists. You want to do War Gods of Egyptus?
Yeah. No. I want to talk about War Gods. Yeah. Kings of War is close, but Kings of War doesn't. There's nothing in there that entices me into the background. There's nothing that makes... I have to create everything that's going to entice me into that game.
I agree with you on somebody. I think the background is there. It's just, I don't really care about it.
Yeah,
I
you
never
don't care
about
it.
The background of any game.
In order for me to make an investment in
the game... Actually, take that back. I really care about the background sometimes of various RPGs I'm doing. Like Shadows of Asterion, that game is all background.
Yeah.
Like the rules are like 10 pages out of the 300-page book.
Well, I mean, for example... Why do I like A Song of Ice and Fire, Game of Thrones? I love the fucking background. I love that the fact that there's 10,000 characters and each one has their own background and their own heraldry and their own... It's a very in-depth world. I love the book The Lies of Locke Lamore because the background of the city is fucking intense and there's like so much cool stuff going around it that he put details into.
That's the money pit.
You like the background?
I like the background.
Tom Hanks.
I like the characters. Tom Hanks.
Goldie Hawn, is she in that?
I think it's Goldie Hawn. You know, they get the house. It's clearly a bad investment.
Yeah, that's the way I want something that's going to have a background that's going to entice me into the game, that's going to make me invested in the game. And I want them to have their own fucking figures that are not like, oh, you have to go out and buy any generic fantasy figures you can use.
I don't feel that there is a game like
that. No, there's not. That's
like, I don't think that game exists.
No, it doesn't. Not anymore. there was a couple of them that were existed back in the day, but not anymore. Like, the only one that was close to fantasy, Warhammer Fantasy, in terms of size and army use like that, was, like, Clan War. That was it.
Yeah.
Because that had the square bases as well.
What about Mighty Armies?
Ragnarok, the fucking confrontation mass combat.
Oh yeah,
game.
Yeah.
Not the plastic one. I'm talking like they put out.
Yeah.
Worst rules ever.
The remake, the Phoenix edition.
No, not the Phoenix. I'm talking Ragnarok was.
Oh, you're talking about the original.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they had confrontation.
Yeah, the rules were fucking terrible.
Oh no, it was like beyond terrible.
Yeah, the rules were fucking awful. They were unplayable.
It was unplayable.
I'm
and
aware.
Plus the fact that like. The medium cost of one of your units was, I think I figured it out, like $200 per unit. It was just like, this cannot be.
Yeah, because they tried to change their game. They tried to change that game into something it wasn't supposed to be.
No.
You know, it was a mediocre skirmish game, and they tried, and it was popular as a mediocre skirmish game because the figures were so sweet.
Yeah.
And then they tried to turn it into a really terrible army game with super expensive figures in the scope of an army game, and so then they had to change the pre-painted plastics and they crashed their own company.
Yeah,
you know.
And then
the classic story of a company getting ahead of itself and running itself out of business.
Definitely.
Hopefully, definitely. Games Workshop is close behind.
unless you got anything you really want to talk about, I got one last thing that I really want to mention.
I want to talk about a Kickstarter.
Okay.
The one die short Kickstarter, because we currently live in a world with no D&D web series.
In a world with no D&D web series.
I'll give it. I'll give it the full movie guy voice.
Okay.
In a world with no D&D web series, you and your friends have the power to bring one to life. One die short, the Kickstarter. It's a Kickstarter run by Matt Forcella. He's got a webcomic, One Die Short, which is like just like a D&D style. It's like half D&D story, half slice of life. So there's like, it's about the people who are playing the game, but then it also cuts to the game storyline. So it's kind of like Order of the Stick if you actually cut to the Order of the Stick's players rather than just having that game the continuous storyline be in game. This one's broken up by like stuff that's happening in their real world and then stuff that's happening in the game. It's okay. I mean, it's not like the best, but I mean, I like it. It was pretty funny. I don't really read a lot of webcomics.
Yeah.
Just like, I'm not a big fan of the medium. The only one I really read is Ogloff, because I think Ogloff is probably the best thing on the internet.
There's a lot of dicks in Ogloff.
Oh, yeah. Blood and thunder. Victory at sea. Anyone who reads Ogloff will understand that reference.
I get it.
But yeah, I mean, it's funny though, like I don't really care about the story because we were just talking about something like that. But it's funny. You can tell he's got a good sense of humor.
Yeah,
and like the little short they produced for the Kickstarter like made it look really funny. So I think it's awesome. Like I think I'm probably gonna kickstart some duelers their way. It looks good. It looks like it'll be a fun time.
Cool.
So hopefully they make it.
Oh, one last. Remember
One Die Short Kickstarter.
Remember how we were talking about the War Gods of Olympus Kickstarter?
Yeah.
I actually did some like really scoping out onto the page. Those models that they already have produced will not be shipped from a year from now, once the Kickstarter is complete.
Okay.
July 2014.
Okay.
That is bullshit. Like those.
I guess.
Why is it going to take a year? I mean, it takes far less for most things to come out.
Like they're already out? The miniatures are already available in metal?
Well, I don't know if that, but they're already sculpted.
Mm.
That's yeah. Hmm. Exactly.
Mm. I don't know.
I would never kickstart something like that. Yes.
I mean, it's at least he's telling you how long it's going to take, you know?
Yeah.
Yes. Birds. I mean, he's telling you though. You know, there's something to be said for the transparency. Yeah, you're like, well, I wouldn't wait for that. But there are some people who might be like, yeah, all right. Like Reaper is a good example. I knew Reaper was going to take a long time to ship.
Well, Reaper was shipping you like 4,000
right,
models.
There's going to be infinity billion.
Did you get
models.
Yours yet?
No, I think mine are going to be shipped out July.
Oh, okay.
So there, it'll, you know.
If you don't want that Clockwork Dragon, I'll buy it off.
No way, dude. I want that model. That model's awesome.
Sorry, it only costs like $15.
Yeah, that's the one thing I really wanted from the Torn Armor Kickstarter. I wanted the like the Clockwork because there's going to be rules for it in that game. Ah. That is my biggest regret when it comes to like missed Kickstarters is that I missed Torn Armor. Not really missed, but I couldn't afford Torn Armor
at the time.
Yeah.
So. It's like every time I get like a really good Kickstarter like that, I like right now, I know you're going to yell at me about this, but Miniature Market. It's a web dealer.
I know who Miniature Market is.
Yeah. They're doing a 40 to 80% off sale on all their Spartan game stuff because no one buys Spartan game stuff except me.
Yep.
Buy
all their Dystopian Legions.
It was so close. So close. I mean, I bought a couple of odds and ends for what I already have, but I was just like, if I didn't have a kid, I would be blowing so much money on this right now. Ridiculous. So if you know, it's going to July 1st, so this will go up. So if you're listening and you want to get some Dystopian Legions and play me over at a local gaming facility.
Kids ruin hobbies.
They do. One last thing before we're done, because we only got like 5-6 minutes left. Will you stop playing with the damn thing?
Sorry.
You put up something on the Facebook page that I want to make a comment on.
Okay.
I refuse to comment on the page just because...
It is confusing when the two of us are commenting, because I know we had one time had a conversation which was actually between you and me, and other people were getting really confused because we're both just under game class.
Yeah. You put the few capital crimes of miniature painting on.
Yes!
The number one, well, let's start at number five, counts as. This is a high elf army with baseball uniforms, which is actually Necrons. The dragons are monolith chariots, and the chariots are flyers. I agree with that. and to an extent, if you put the effort into it.
Well, there's a reasonable, like counts as means it is not reasonable. For example, if you have a block of mantic goblins with spears and you say, these are night goblins with spears, reasonable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even if it's like, okay, like I wanted to do, let's say I'm doing an ogre army for fantasy. Let's just stay on fantasy for a second. And I didn't want to use the fucking stupid ass Knoblar models. I wanted to do Empire flagellants and pretend like they're ogre slaves. That's okay.
That's totally legit.
Yeah. That's
totally legit because they're small bases. There's no confusion because there's only one small base choice.
Yeah.
There's two small base choices in the ogre army, but they're both Knoblars and one skirmishes and one does not. So if you have a skirmishing unit of humans and you have a block of humans, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, and same thing. It's like, how about this? In my Kings of War army I'm doing for the Lannisters, since there's no ogres in the Game of Thrones series, I'm using packs of dogs instead of ogres.
Are they on a 40-millimeter base?
They're on a 40-millimeter base.
Seems fine.
Okay.
Because there's no other mini... That's the thing. It's basically about reducing the possibility of confusion. I need to look at your army and at a glance. Yes. If I know you're playing Kings of War... And I know you're playing Kingdoms of Men, and you have 40-millimeter bases. The only possibility of that is
ogres. Yeah.
So it's like, well, those are clearly ogres because there's nothing else those could be.
Yes. Okay, your number four was non-metallic metals. I think that should be amended to any sort of fad painting. Non-metallic metals, source lighting. Granted, people still do that in competition, which I don't approve, but it's fad painting is fad painting.
Yes.
Because no one really does non-metallic metals anymore. Few people do it. It's like right now people are using oil-based paints.
You could say it's a very syrupy thing to do for the non-metallic metals.
It's right now it's all about oil-based painting. So they're using oil paints to paint their figures. I don't get it myself. You have to wait forever for it to dry. But you do get some nice blends.
You know.
Yeah.
Just jacking it.
Competitive modeling. I fucking hate this. Just because Scuba I can't,
Space Marines?
Because I can't do it myself. If I did do it, I'd be like, fuck you, Steve.
See,
you're jealous of my Scuba Marines.
You can do competitive modeling. Competitive modeling is just being a dick bag. It's just like, put your dude who's supposed to be a 20-millimeter infantry on a giant column this high so he can see over the whole battlefield. Anybody can do that.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I wasn't saying modeling in competition.
Oh.
I
was saying you're saying like the Scuba Marines, so they put them on like the pole so it looks like they're floating, but then
it's the Scuba Marines, you chop them off
So they're like only yay high.
They're going up in the water.
And they're up in the water, but like they're about like a quarter of an inch tall.
So no one can see them.
They're out of line of sight. They're really short because they're swimming.
I would never play that person.
Obviously, but that's an extreme example. There's some pretty bogus competitive modeling things out there.
Yeah, that makes sense. Basing your miniature on a pile of skulls base.
Pile of skulls base.
I don't think that bad. Some models come with pile of skulls.
Then you shouldn't use it. You definitely shouldn't use it.
I think that's an aesthetic choice on your part.
It is not an aesthetic choice. Pile of skulls base is fucking awful. No one should do it ever. Ever.
Though that I have not seen it enough to make a comment on it. Like, I have played against a person who's ever had a skull.
I played against the Bloodletter army that the entire
Bloodletter army.
I don't care how justified it is. It's a fucking Bloodletter army. Everything was on the pile of skulls, and I just wanted to smash his army off the table and be like, no.
I remember Armorcast used to do, I don't know if they still do it, but they used to do the road of skulls. Do you remember that? Okay. And they have a bridge of skulls.
So bad.
Skulls, Steve.
The only exception to this is the skull tank.
The official mascot.
The official skull classy skull tank.
And the number one thing is the one that I was the one who started railing against this probably back in 2001 when it first came out.
Oh, yes.
Painting the One Ring script onto your mini base around the lip. I completely agree with this. I hate people that do it. And it's not because I can't do it, because I can do it and I can make it look well. But I think it's so cliche at this point.
It's the worst.
I actually, now I don't know, I hate anyone who paints anything on the lip. Anything that's painted. Like when people put names on lips of the base, I hate that. When they take the marks on their War Machine base and they mark out where like front and back is, that drives me crazy,
too. Well, that actually is a game mechanic.
I don't care. That. It looks awful.
That's fine. I mean, you can't complain about that one because that's an actual required game mechanic.
You're not required to paint it on there.
If you don't, you're subject to a lot of variants.
It doesn't matter. I think it looks ugly, and if I'm spending that money on my models, I want them to look pretty and not ugly.
That's fine, but that's not actually someone's aesthetic choice. That's someone's... Yeah. Game mechanics.
Games Workshop. If Privateer Press wants that to be a game mechanic, their bases should have that marked on them already.
The giant colossal bases do.
That's awesome because that's what it should have on there.
But you still kind of need to paint them because they're black. So you want to paint the color on the line.
I don't care. I think it looks ugly.
Okay, you cannot take the stance on that simply because an aesthetic choice.
If you want to take a stance on skulls, I will take an aesthetic choice.
If the game required you to have fucking skull bases, I would never play that game because it sounds like the worst thing in the history of the world. But what you're saying is not the same thing as what I'm saying. I'm saying someone who's putting their fucking stupid model on a stupid ass skull base, that's their retarded ass choice. Putting the line of sight arcs on your War Machine miniature is not an aesthetic choice. That's a gaming choice.
Exactly. And not all. And my gameplay is aesthetic.
Would I put that on a model I'm painting for competition for Privateer Press? No. But any model I'm using in a game, they're gonna have the line of sight markers.
I would not. I will find any other method, any other means necessary. By any means necessary, Steve.
That's fine, but that's what I'm saying. I'm talking about pure aesthetics. You're not talking about pure aesthetics.
Let's do that as a Kickstarter. Let's do a game classic Kickstarter. Let's design a plastic miniature base that already has a line of sight arcs marked into it.
I would love that because that's what I was. Because once I saw they did that on the colossal bases, there's the three little nubs where the arc sight are. I just like it just made me mad looking at the smaller bases. I was like. This is fucking bullshit.
Well, exactly, because I hate
the worst is actually Mercs. Mercs has like a crazy like you need these like
90-degree marks.
Yeah, and it's just like come on, like that's fucking awful.
Yeah. Oh, I understand.
And it's like if you're going to do a miniatures game that's got such a wonky ass line of sight system, like the War Machine one at least is like it's half the base, half the base going forward. Okay, it's not that wonky, but the fucking Mercs one is ridiculous. It's like, why would you not produce a specialized base for your game?
Absolutely. All right, so there you go, right?
Fuck.
Yeah, I hate when people my models right now the way I've been.
There's one miniature. It's acceptable to do the Lord of the Rings rim on, and that's if you do the base and you put a little One Ring on it.
Oh,
and you make the one ring. The One Ring is the exception to this rule. It is allowed to have the script around the sides because it's the actual One Ring.
Oh, no. I thought you meant the One Ring model on top of a base that has the One Ring written around the base of that.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
It's the base is got the script, and on that model is the One Ring
that has the script.
Right.
So you have two scripts.
Double down.
There we go. I'm okay with that.
That's fine.
All right. So there we go there. I feel a little better getting that off my chest. Because my own models nowadays don't even have lips. Most of the bases I use do not have the lip around it. It's not completely flat, but they're thin enough that it's just like you can't do anything to it.
I just go black rims.
That's what I normally do. Everything's black rims. Well, this is thin enough that I just do the black rim around it.
Yeah, I think it looks the cleanest. It looks the nicest. Just black rim.
Plus, I don't like... I'd like my models to kind of merge together. I'd hate the fact that there's that little divot in between the models. I like mine to be completely flat, and it gives me more play surface to do stuff with the bases. That's just me.
Don't get me wrong, though. I mean, I'm not a fan of the arcs in the War Machine game. I'm not a fan of it. I don't like it, but it's one of those things where it's like, well, I like the game, so unfortunately, I just got to deal with it.
Yeah.
I think it's bad. I think it's poorly done. I think there's a much easier way to do it where you basically just go dot on two sides of the base, dot on the front, dot on the back.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I just think it's ugly, and it makes me feel like, I don't even know how to describe it. It makes me feel like I'm playing Blood Bowl. It just does.
There's no way anything can make you feel that greasy. Blood Bowl. That's something too. I wanted to just throw this out there.
Okay. Oh, we better hurry up because we're running out of time.
I know I've posted some like Dreadball stuff, and I posted Chaos Ball stuff, and that. I only post that because it's news. In my opinion, all of those miniatures sports games are the fucking cancer of miniatures games.
I agree.
They're fucking
awful. Maybe not the cancer, because cancer's not funny, but they're pretty terrible.
All right. They're just the fucking worst thing in miniatures games.
Oh, I completely... I hate them so much.
I hate them. I hate Blood Bowl. I hate Dread Ball. I hate Chaos Ball. Any other fucking stupid-ass fantasy sports game, fuck it. I hate it. I hope it dies.
I agree.
The worst.
So anyway, go to Game Classy.
Skull Classy.
Go to Skull Classy. Go to PlanetArbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You could follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You could follow Steve at Game Classy.
I might be changing that to at Skull Classy.
Skull Classy. No, Game Classy. Don't confuse our listeners.
Yes.
None
of our listeners follow us on Twitter.
You know what? And actually, here's another thing too. If you are listening to us, let's do another a push to let the word out about Game Classy. A lot of our fans do a really good job of going out there and, you know, putting stuff out there like, this is my new favorite show. This is, you know, you should be listening to this. These guys love talking about dicks. That's awesome. And I've gotten some great feedback on other sites, too. Like, because sometimes I'll do that. I'll type in Game Classy into the Google and I'll look and see what people are saying about it.
The ego search?
Yeah, because I want to see if, like, we're making any impact. Because our listenership has gone up. But it's like we don't really see a lot of that reflected into, you know, comments and things like that. So if you want to go to fucking iTunes and comment on there, you know, don't be mean. Like, if you can say these guys suck and they talk about dicks, but give us 5 stars.
Yeah.
You know, you know, that's I don't really care about what
you can be as mean as you want, as long as they get the 5-star rating.
Exactly. Like, that Steve's a piece of shit.
5 stars.
5 stars. You could write that down, right? Steve's a piece of shit. 5 stars. And then give us 5 stars. Yeah.
Joe smells funny. 5 stars.
I do. I bathe quite regularly.
Well, you must be bathing in some sort of goat urine.
Saganaki. Let's bring it up for a third
souflaki.
Time. Souflaki. God damn it. Uzo for Tuzo. So, like our Facebook page, /GameClassy, where you're able to bitch about Games Workshop stuff. And get like some GW rage out of your system.
Yeah, yeah, man. Let it all out.
Let it all out.
Did they hurt you? Tell me how they hurt you.
And then of course someone will.
You tell me how Games Workshop hurt you, and I will make it better.
We're like a religious conference because like you come out there and bitch about Games Workshop, and people will be like, it's okay, you can leave Games Workshop. Have you heard about the Church of Privateer Press? It's not a cult in any way. It's not cultish at all. Not like Games Workshop. Oh, you don't like this? Well, Privateer Press does this better.
Or and the Dark Age second edition is still churning out. Look like they're putting out more stuff. That's looking like one of the best edition transitions I've ever seen. Ever. Like the amount of stuff they're doing. Well, I know we're out of time. I will get into it next cast.
Yeah.
Dark Age second edition. I'll get into it.
Sure. I'm sure that one listener who's really into Dark Age will really care.
Whatever, bro.
So the final word?
Netrunner Regionals.
Game Classy.